Hey, y'all. My name is Ann Wyatt. I started my career in workforce development with the state of Kentucky in 2010. That experience ignited a deep passion for manufacturing within me. I started this show hoping to raise more awareness around the bright outlook manufacturing careers have. Join me as I sit down with some of the manufacturing industry's most successful change makers and learn how they're partnering people with technology. It's time to give people more meaningful work. This is Workforce 4.0. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of Workforce 4.0. This is your host, Ann Wyatt. I'm joined today by Mark Beckman with Microsoft. And this is going to be such a good conversation because we're going to be talking about all things AI and also some of the incoming trends that we can expect in 2025. Very stoked to have you here, Mark. Do you want to give everyone out there a more solid introduction?
Yeah, sure. Mark Beckman. I am a senior director of the worldwide manufacturing mobility team at Microsoft. I have an unusual role at Microsoft in terms of I work mostly on the business side of manufacturing. And to me, what that means is the engineering and design side, the manufacturing, the supply chain side, and how the workforce overlays all of that. In my 17 years at Microsoft, I've worked with some of our largest manufacturing clients, some of which actually supply us products for our own operations. Great to be here. Thank you very much, Ann, for the invitation to do this and to look forward to the conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm really excited to get into more of the workforce aspect of it. Of course, from the show title, Workforce 4.0, I think it's really interesting what Microsoft is providing in the way that we work, how we've worked. Of course, it's a household name, but it's interesting to see how it's evolving into the future of work as well. Mark, so I appreciate you being on the show here today.
Thanks.
Before we get started, I've got to give you the official Workforce 4.0 introduction, the welcome wagon, if you will. And you got to let me know that if we were at an industry event, I know you guys were at IMTS this last year, if we were at an event like that and we were going to do karaoke, I gotta know what your go-to karaoke song is.
So truthfully, I don't really have a go-to one. Since you posed the question, I can say that I think the last time I did karaoke was probably a Bon Jovi song, and I think it was Living on a Prayer. And part of that is because my wife loves Bon Jovi, and because, to be honest with you, I mock him a little bit when I do karaoke with it. I would say that's my go-to if I ever had one.
I think this is like the perfect karaoke song.
It's easy.
So we had a karaoke night at IMTS and we went and we did karaoke. I don't remember anyone doing any Bon Jovi. And in retrospect, now that you're bringing this up, that makes me very sad because that is a missed opportunity for Journey and also Bon Jovi.
It probably is.
That's amazing. Have you ever done, so you do karaoke?
No, I don't. I'm an introvert. Yeah. So you have to like really pry me to get up on stage for that.
I go last.
That's a typical introvert trait, by the way.
I feel very seen. Thank you. Yeah, us introverts, we're coming. We'll be there. We're here to support.
That's right.
We're going to let you go first. I know that's something that we had talked about being on the introverted side previously. So love to give that a shout out. But I guess getting into the conversation today at hand, I really wanted to have you on the show to talk a little bit more about AI and what your predictions were. It's such a hot topic right now. It's a regular buzzword, if you would. So I got to know, when you're thinking about AI and the future of work, what's one of the biggest trends that you see developing in 2025?
Yeah. So let me parse this a couple of different ways, maybe. A trend, I don't know if it's a trend or not, but everybody's getting used to it. And so we're trying to play around with it. You and I have had some conversations about some capabilities that are available in just search engines and those sort of things. But what we're finding is that, especially on the manufacturing side, there's a lot of tasks that have to be built, task lists that have to be built. We can address that through AI, Gen AI in particular. We can find a lot of information faster. And to be honest with you, I think a trend is more and more people are getting used to it. There's a question, is it really providing value for me? I see a lot of manufacturers find value in it when they start looking at the content that's out there. So getting used to it, I think, is the talk track of 2024. What we see, I see with some of my customers and what they're trying to do from a 2025 perspective, is there's a lot of talk right now for agents and the agentic movement and AI, being able to build processes that can automate functions for me. All right. And think about the things that we don't like to do. All right. I don't like to fill out expense reports. I don't like to fill out the reforms and everything for my forecast and pipeline. If I'm a shift manager, I probably don't really want to fill out the forms from shift to shift that say, this is what I need to do. Why don't I have the information digitized and allow those things and agents to deliver on the process that I really need to do? So the agent movement, I think, is really coming into play. I think we're getting better at models as well when making small language models more accessible and easier. I would say a trend might also be how we're thinking about putting that intelligence on the edge with those models. And that requires a small language model or a smaller code base that fits in that end device in order to do whatever the process needs to be done, especially if you think about the production lines. That's what I see some of the trends going into 2025 to think about. I can tell you too that AI as a whole has made data a lot more important just about every company, period. And we're seeing a lot of people focus on getting the data house in order and think about what they need in order to execute on their future AI type of capabilities, be it internally, but in a lot of cases externally as they build more services for their clients.
Yeah, I definitely want to touch on the aspect of agency and task work with AI. I enjoy that immensely. And I don't know if I've just gotten to the point where I'm like, how do I make this quicker and easier? And that's where I guess I'm at personally. But using AI in order to generate tasks lists for me or to complete things quickly for me is critical. And I think there's a lot of people out there that would also agree that things like documentation, for example, is keeping people from being more productive.
How long does it take me to find information on my car manual? All right. That happens in every day in the manufacturing plant.
And even though it's critical and crucial to have that documentation, it's eating up a big chunk of time where I think that people as creative individuals could be doing more. Have you seen Secchi's new AI tool in their software? But they're essentially creating AI-driven performance reviews, which is something in HR no one wants to do either. But generating the form for performance review and then tracking it and then tracking the data over time. And that's pretty cool.
I haven't seen that, but candidly, we use AI to do our performance reviews. What's uncanny about AI, Gen AI, is that I can say, build my response in the typical manner that my superior talks and writes. And so it makes it easier for them to read my comments in the review as well. There's a lot of things you can obviously do from a structural perspective and building out how you want to respond based on your performance. You can mine all your emails, you can mine your meetings that you've had, you can mine all your presentations and start to capture information that makes it a lot easier. When I do a performance review, I'm going back to those sources and tracking and saying, this is how I spent my time and this is what I delivered. And AI, Gen AI, can help us build some of that stuff much more effectively and quickly. So I think HR to me is a huge opportunity for Gen AI as a whole, because we as employees are looking for our benefits information. We're looking for our pay stub. We're looking for what we need to do for next year for our benefits. We want to look at the rules and regulations and company policies related to vacations, how many we have left, et cetera, et cetera. It's a lot of unstructured content that as employees need to, they mine and look for information. And it's a, sometimes it's easier, sometimes it's not.
Yeah, and that's a huge task. Every year, open enrollment, you've got your HR generalist sitting at the desk meeting with the majority of your workforce, probably, and having those one-on-one conversations and then documenting all that. And then they're trying to figure out what the best plan option is for them, covered by your insurance provider. And then that's work, choosing the right insurance provider for your plan. And you think about, I don't want to do that for myself. You think about somebody that's got the responsibility of doing that for 500 plus employees, say the least. So that's a really interesting use case for AI. We're taking advantage of that. I think there's a lot of opportunity career-wise in AI too. I think that it's going to be something that if you learn how to adopt it strategically, you're going to see a lot of career advancement in the next decade or so. And I don't think that you necessarily have to be super savvy with it to the level of like where you've seen tech jobs before and you have to know a programming language or you have to have a very defined skill set with leveraging AI. But what do you think about when you're thinking about skills or future skills for people to work on and adopt for career advancement with AI?
What's interesting, even if you look at the tech sector as a whole, most jobs will have some element of AI listed in the requirements, right? And to be perfectly candid, you're going to move up to the top of the pile if you have any data science, machine learning, anything related to AI. Another trait would be prompt engineering. And quite frankly, a lot of what's missing that we see in various cases in some of our clients is the cross-pollination between IT and the business world. And it's becoming more important for everybody to know what's capable from IT. All right, so business people really should know what's happening from a technology perspective that they could apply to their jobs because they know they're the subject matter experts in their world. All right, but IT also knows how to build systems. All right, they know how to manage and govern and secure systems. And so you need to cross-pollinate with some of this stuff. And a candidate that has some business savvy and creativity too, along with some of the AI capabilities and prompt engineering, as I mentioned, I think those are pretty critical for people going forward. Going back to the trends, I think there's some opportunity to understand architectures for artificial intelligence applications and understand some of the underpinnings of Gen AI, for example, and how to get better information and better contextualized information based off of your prompt. But knowing what type of structure to put together and knowing how to scale that broadly across the organization, I think are good traits and capabilities and competencies to have as well.
I love all of that. I want to circle back to prompt engineering. I think that I know what you're talking about when you use that term, but just to clarify for those listening that may not know, what does that mean to you, the prompt engineering?
There's some things that I can do behind the scene to make it more easy to find the information that I'm looking for. All right. So I can ground things based off of the content structures that I need to utilize. And then quite frankly, how I build a model and train it. So prompt engineering really is the function in order to help do that. All right. I'd almost say that if you just move to how an end user builds prompts, that has an impact on things too. And I can build prompts that get me information faster and more comprehensively than the next guy. All right. And that's going to be a competitive advantage going forward. All right. I'll give you a classic case. I do a lot of research from analysts and understand what they're telling clients that they need to think about. And I can actually build a prompt and say, give me the response that analyst 1, 2, 3, 4 typically talk about and build it in their language. Address these couple of points. I think these are important points. What do you think? And have the prompt generate the content based off of a richer prompt going into it so that I don't have to hunt and peck and find information and piece together. I regularly say, hey, go after the analysts and tell me what's hot right now. All right. And sometimes I use that in conversations and presentations and the like. And Gen AI helps me do that. And it's a very easy thing to do. Now, that can translate over into the manufacturing side or the engineering side. All right. Give me information and the sentiment of how people use this product based off of our focus groups. What possibly could I think about in order to make this product better? All right. What does the next generation of user want in this product based off of research that comes from X source or Y source? All right. And so I can get information a lot quicker and a lot more comprehensive than if I just give it a general prompt. And unfortunately, we're used to search engines being fairly simple. And now we've got a super powered search engine that can really provide some context, richer context going forward.
Yeah. So I've played around when ChatGPT first came out. I was on there. I'm exactly the search engine thing. You think about how do I simplify what I'm saying to get the best search results. Now, sometimes that's good in recruiting. Sometimes it's not. It just depends on what query you're running. And you can make it a little bit more complicated with search engines. You can do that. And it tends to give you more focused results. But with ChatGPT, it was really easy to like just ask it things. And I think it was like shock value. Now you really get into this idea of engineering prompts. And that, to break this down even a little bit more for folks listening, that's actually the input of what you're asking from the AI. Do you think that's a prospective job title, or do you think that's going to be a mandatory skill set?
I don't know as if it's either, to be honest with you. I just, as we adopt things, we get smarter. I was talking to a colleague the other day, and actually I have a niece who's 2.5 years older. She knows how to use a smartphone. All right. Well, guess what? When I had a smartphone, I had to learn how to use it. All right. And the good thing is that we learn, think different things faster. All right. The funny thing is to give a person a rotary phone and ask them how to use it. And that's completely hilarious. But I think it's just, I think we learn differently now with technology, and technology is bred into our living, breathing, literally, that we can use this stuff a lot faster and adopt a lot faster.
Do you think that companies that will win the quote unquote war on talent, do you think that they will adopt this technology at a high capacity, a high rate?
I think a lot of the analysts and people in the business are saying, is this a fad? Here's what's interesting. All right. AI has been around for a long time. In the early to late 90s, AI was infused in artificial intelligence was infused in supply chain planning all over the place. All right. It wasn't easy to do. All right. And you had to buy applications that used it in order to be able to get the advantage of it. But what's really changed is it's more democratized today. All right. So I can use things like ChatGPT. I can use ChatGPT to generate code to put in an Excel spreadsheet that'll do some sort of fancy calculations for me. All right. And that's AI that's infused in a regular, ordinary person that doesn't have to know anything literally about AI in order to take advantage of some of these things. My opinion is it's always been around, but it's democratized. And I think that's going to eventually spread quite massively. To be perfectly candid, we see a lot of benefits from companies that are saving things like logistics costs to the tune of 1-2%. And some of these companies are pretty massive and they have big bills for logistics and freight transportation, that if they can be smarter in how they do things, that's a big money saving opportunity for them. Internally in our own supply chain, you just think about suppliers. If you're a big manufacturer, you got a lot of suppliers. All right? Why aren't they shipping me the product? And can I find another supplier that can ship me said part or component at the same high quality or better that has availability for it today? And they can get it to me tomorrow. And if you think about the research that goes on in normal core functions in a manufacturing or insurance company or a law firm, consulting firm, there's a lot of things and functions that really can be helped via Gen AI, AI in addressing some of the key challenges that these companies have. So I think if you listen to some of the analysts, they're a little bit pessimistic, but then there's other analysts out there that, yeah, this is real. And my personal feeling, being in the business 39 years, this is by far the most interesting time. And it's by far probably what I think is more long-term, long-tail type of opportunities for us to take advantage of the technology.
Yeah, I think that's a really fair point. And I think that this has hit this point where it is democratized to everyone. It's accessible to everyone. And I think with that, I think that's really its staying power right there. I think this, if this were like a niche product or something that were only available to a few, I don't know that it would be as widely accepted. But now it's like Pandora's box. We opened it, right? It's Moore's Law. It's just going to go from here. So I think it's really exciting.
I think the other thing too is if you look at some of the consumerization of this, it's more ubiquitous. Right? So I walk in with my smartphone and I've got some AI capabilities on it already. And quite frankly, it's been in some of these applications. I mean, it's uncanny in how I'm looking on social media and all of a sudden something comes up and says, gee, this is interesting. I was talking about this last week. All right. And so how did it know that? All right.
Does that not freak you out? That freaks me out so bad.
It does. In some cases, it's beneficial for me and I end up buying a product because of it. Or I start looking and doing more research on something and eventually I buy a product on it. It's in our lives more prevalent than I think what a lot of people know. And as we become used to that, and it's back to 3-year-old can use a smartphone now without teaching them how to use it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it is interesting how the ads, like it is, that is a whole other, that's a whole other thing, because it is interesting how you can be doing a Google search on something and then it pops up elsewhere. That's interesting. Of all the potential out there for use cases of AI in the future going forward, where do you see the most impactful potential being? And especially like how we work, how it's making our lives easier.
Yeah, let me start on the manufacturing side because that's what I live and breathe. All right. And really, actually, I alluded to a couple of the use cases and stories already. But an engineer needs to coalesce a lot of information. All right. They need to coalesce information that says these are the specs for this release. I want to build a better product. Let's take a look at the specs from the previous release and see what's going on. I could probably look at my customer service and maintenance and repair information and say, let's take a look and see where the problems are and let's make that better in this new release. All capabilities of addressed that are addressed through AI. If you look on the manufacturing line, all right, how can I make a product more effective, or I can build it more effectively? How can I build it optimally? How can I reduce scrap? All of these things happen because things aren't running optimally, all right? And if I can use AI in order to find that problem before it happens, I can prevent it from happening. We talk about things in moving manufacturing left or moving engineering left, all right? If I can stop things before they happen, I can probably rework it, all right? But my process, if I end up scrapping it on the end of the line, that's a lot more cost in that than if I scrap it early because I know it's not going to produce the end of the line result that I want. All right. Supply chain, I already gave you some thoughts on that. There's a ton of things that if you look at most manufacturers, they got a ton of people in supply chain. Right. And that's because there's a lot of things that have to go right in the supply chain in order to design, make, deliver, support, keep customers happy. I haven't met a manufacturer that I've talked to that can truly say, I can promise you this product on this particular date at this particular time. Unfortunately, because they have a number of different siloed systems that they have to get that information from. Yep. AI can help some of that stuff. But even if you go outside of manufacturing, you've got healthcare that can benefit from, think just claims processing and healthcare. We have one of the electronic records management companies is using voice capture from smartphones in a doctor's office once they say, hey, are you okay with me recording this? And it can parse through that conversation and find potential symptoms or problems that I might need to remedy. I can use it for x-rays and scans to find anomalies in those scans in order to find problems a lot faster. I can use it for more drug discovery because the compute and that elasticity of compute, along with the ability to find previous drugs and compounds that go into that. Legal spends a lot of time trying to figure out what's in a document, what kind of things are out there. And so there's a lot of savings on that front too. RFPs, all right? am I going to win this bid if I do it based off of previous track records of winning or losing? All right. And maybe I want to spend time on the bids that I can probably win versus the ones that are maybe a long shot. So I can manage my workday if I'm doing RFPs in any sort with some of the capabilities. So to me, it's like amazing at what business parts of the business things touch, because it really can be all encompassing. It's just a matter of finding the right use case and valuing it appropriately for the particular situation.
Yeah, so much of that boils down, so much comes to mind there. When you're talking about predicting, do you watch football? Are you a football fan?
Yeah, college football.
College football. Oh, who's your team?
I'm a Fighting Illini.
Ah.
University of Illinois.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. Love it.
Good year.
Yes. Yes.
I live in Chicago, so we got the Bears. So
yes.
I love the Bears, but I also hate the Bears. So yeah. Anybody that follows NFL will know what I'm talking about.
In my defense, my dad was a Packers fan.
I have Bart Starr's autograph. All right. So
that's awesome.
And I have Ray Nitschke's autograph. So, you know, you got two prominent Packers that I have responses from and autographs from.
That's awesome. But you think about when you're watching NFL games and you think they do that whole recap now. It's, oh, are they going to go for it? Do they go for it? Do they not go for it? Yeah. And then they'll get the AI out and it just calculates for you. But I think that's really interesting on all kinds of things as well. And in what I would consider real life, like sales, conversions, or what have you. And then one of my favorite AI use cases is, of course, like my note taker app, because you think about like doctors using recordings to go back and listen to what your symptoms are. It's because it lets the doctor focus on having a conversation with you, or a nurse having a conversation with you. Mm-hmm. It's the same kind of thing in recruiting. I need to focus on having a conversation with someone.
Yeah, right. If I can just raise one point related to that. All right. I talk to a lot of people in healthcare just because I live in a community that has a lot of healthcare people. And what doctors don't like to do is take notes. All right? They would rather spend time and recording information. All right? A lot of it has to do with insurance processes. Subsequently, there's not as many doctors wanting to do that. In fact, my primary care just told me he's leaving the practice to become a chief medical officer because he's tired of doing the stuff that he doesn't like to do. He likes to take care of patients. Same is true in manufacturing. All right?
Same is true with engineers. Engineers want to do the thing. That's why you get into engineering. You want to do the thing, right?
So labor, quite frankly, labor is pushing AI because we can't find enough people to fill the jobs that are losing because of the people retiring or the next generation. In manufacturing, we have this challenge of the next generation of worker, where we're going to get them, because the perception in some cases, right? It's not always accurate, to be honest with you. A lot of manufacturers are pretty cool plants to operate in, but the next generation in some cases doesn't want to come and work for a manufacturer in the production line.
That's a very fair point. And I do hear that a lot. I hear that from the frontline workforce a lot. I hear that from kids a lot. Mm-hmm. Really adapting the way that we work, adopting these technologies and AI and implementing that into our process is only going to boost and leverage our ability to recruit. From the feedback I've received over the years.
I would agree with you on that.
Sure. So AI is really amazing. I think there's some people that are really, I don't know, Mark. I made this little Facebook meme. It's marked safe from robots taking our jobs. And I feel like I need to update that to marked safe from AI taking my job. But there's a lot of people out there that are really concerned about AI, that what it can eventually or potentially lead to. And I think even Elon Musk has said things like, it's going to be like competing with a lesser species. And we're like talking, it's going to be like us trying to talk to a tree, and the AI is us or whatever. So it makes you think about some scarier scenarios for AI out there. But what is there anything from your perspective, for somebody that works in AI, like with the technology works for a major developer of the technology. Is there anything that scares you?
There is really isn't anything from a technology perspective that scares me. All right. Here actually is what scares me. All right. Is we don't use it. All right. I'll give you a kind of the historical view from a manufacturing perspective that leads us to where we are today with AI. And that's with Industry 4.0. Industry 4.0 is really 12 years ago in Germany. All right. Mm-hmm. We're 12 years into that, almost 13. Some companies are still just getting started with. Now it's speeding up. All right. And part of that's because of the democratization of a lot of things that went into that. I started with connecting a machine, whether it's in the field or in a plant, and I got information from that. I need probably 10 different of those machines in my production line really to tell me how that's working. And that's a lot easier to do today than it was 12 years ago. The gap between what we can absorb from technology perspective and the simple fact that AI is speeding that up significantly is really what scares me. All right. All of us, anybody that's building applications right now is generating code from AI. You can probably generate anywhere from 20 to 40, almost 50% of the code, maybe even more in some cases. So if I can build applications faster, that means that technology is going to advance a lot faster. Applications are going to advance a lot faster. And consumers of that, be it a corporate client or an end user, I need to keep up with that. And so that's, to me, what really scares me about some of this technology. Sure, you can talk about things like hallucinations. I've got examples where everybody thought it was a hallucination, but we actually tracked it back to the content that they had in their own operation that said the wrong stuff. All right.
Yeah.
And the question is, why did it find that and not another piece of information? Why didn't it flag the discrepancy? Quite frankly, the model is going to become smarter over time. It said, hey, I found a discrepancy in your documentation here and here. Which one do you want to use, all right, to make a recommendation on how to fix something? And I think just the speed of change in technology is really going to amp up how people really need to absorb it. And those that are on the leading edge are going to reap a lot of benefits and probably... sad to say, there's probably some companies that are going to be the laggards and are probably going to suffer because of it.
Yeah, I worry about that sometimes. And not like really from a professional perspective, but I worry about that. I don't know. I've got home assistants. So I worry about just my tenacity and my own ability to have the patience if something goes down, like to learn how to fix it or to learn how to implement new technology. And I think about that sometimes, never from a professional perspective, never like in my day-to-day work, more so outside of work, more so like, say, oh, it's like the next biggest and greatest thing. I don't know. It could be. Like, do you really need an IoT coffee maker, Ann? Like, sometimes I'm like...
kind of like, oh, geez, I'm missing out. But can I just come back to a point I think you were starting to make, though? All right?
Yeah.
And we didn't talk about it enough. But you start to say, is it going to replace... You kind of paraphrase what I think you were starting to say. Is it going to replace people? And
yeah.
My opinion is, no, it's not. It's going to make us smarter. And it's going to make us smarter because it's going to give us stuff that we really won't want to do anyway, all right, to help us in our jobs. Building the task lists that I need to focus on. Telling me that I need to focus on this versus that. Telling me what I need to do today because it's looking at my information and my emails that went back and forth with 100 different people and keeping track of that. So I don't have to look through that. It's going to find information that I can never. It's going to build my PowerPoints, my Excel spreadsheets, my Word documents a lot faster than what I could do in the past. And so... it's going to make us smarter. In fact, I wish I could remember the professor's name, but he said, as AI becomes more prevalent in our operation, people are going to become smarter. All right. That's paraphrased with his quote, but nonetheless, I think the same in that we're just going to be better at what we do and much more, I think, satisfied because we don't have to worry about some of the crappy stuff that we have to do, all right, however you determine if it's crappy or not, there's things that we all don't like to do that can be handled through AI to make our life a heck of a lot easier.
Absolutely. Amen. In the South, we would say, praise the Lord. And I think that's the kind of attitude and outlook that we need to have.
I think so too. To me, it goes back to the problem of labor as well. Mm-hmm. If I can't find enough people to do what I need to do, I need to figure out if technology can help me do that. And I can stand up and say technology can help you do some of the things if you lose labor.
And is it an actual loss? If you're looking at labor market information and you're looking at the amount of job openings and you're looking at the people, mm-hmm. demographics, those are separate analytics. Yeah. You look at population and then you look at the labor market information, which is job openings. Realistically, is it a true loss? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. To me, I think I can illustrate it a little bit on the agriculture side. If I can have farmers in rural locations or arid locations raise their own food, is that a good thing? Yeah. All right. Which means that I don't have a load on some of the other grocery stores, perhaps, or other the farms. We know we can't feed the world by 2050 based on the growth of population and the number of farms we have. So why can't we use technology to give people that aren't farmers today the ability to become farmers that can grow crops in the area that they live in? Because the technology can create seeds that can grow in just about any location, right? And so literally that's where the technology comes into play to address some of the future problems that we're having, agriculture being one.
Exactly. Now that's a great way to think about that and to round that thought up for sure. I appreciate that. Mark, this has been so much fun. I really enjoyed having this conversation. I know that we're a little over time here today. For everyone that has listened in today and that maybe wants to reach out to you, do you have a good point of contact information?
Yeah, I'm happy to respond to emails. I'll give you that in a second, but the easiest way is LinkedIn, and it's M. Beckman with two N's, the second N is silent, and you'll find me there. And if you just concatenate my name and put a period between Mark and Beckman with two N's, and I work at Microsoft, it's at Microsoft.com.
I love that. I will, of course, have all of your information in the show notes as well. So that will be there for our listeners.
Okay, we're only going to get better if we start collaborating more effectively and getting the perspective from a variety of different people. So I'm happy to have some of those conversations and network with people.
I can attest to that. I think that you're a great resource on all of this good stuff. And it's just always great to have conversations, to learn more from each other and collaborate. So this has been a really great and fun recording for me. I appreciate your time today.
It was fun for me too. So thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And for everybody that is listening today, give Mark a follow, reach out to him on email. And if you like the show and you like what you're hearing, be sure to drop us a review, and we will see you all next time.